reading to you from 2 Corinthians and the 4th chapter and the 3rd verse. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this Evangelist Cecil Moe. And as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic, gave my heart to Christ over 55 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. 1 year later, God called me to preach, and I've been sharing Jesus ever since. Friends, keep praying for me. We're struggling with our health, and I thought this healing would be quicker than it was, but anyway, I'd appreciate you pray for us. And I want you to pray for my ex-pastor, Dale Freeman, down in Oregon. He has not been feeling too well, and he's got so many things on his plate. He's producing movies. He's pastoring a church. My stars in the morning. I love that guy. But you pray for him and his wife, and pray for his two sons. They're movie producers, and they're doing a lot of soul-winning films. Well, listen, I'll be with you for a half an hour tonight. I wish you'd just kick off your slippers, sit back and relax, pour your glass of ice to your cup of coffee. Let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? Have your Bibles with you. Turn with me to the 28th chapter of the book of Matthew, and let's begin reading with the first verse. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door, and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and become as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, as he said, Come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and behold, he goeth before you unto Galilee, there shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. Well, friends, listen, we've labeled this a message tonight, Go Tell the Good News. Now, folks, you remember me telling you, when I went to Tom Baird's home that morning, 55 years ago in Seattle, Washington, as I sat there and crying, because I was at the end of the rope and no knot on the end, that gentleman just flat out told me the good news. You say, Cecil, you mean to tell me we live in a great land like America and a lot of people have never heard the good news? I hope to kiss a pig there is. Did you realize every time I go to this great big old grocery store up there to get my groceries, I witness to those people. And every time they see they have an electric scooter I can use. And then when I go out to the car, some lady or man usually comes out and brings the scooter back. And well, on the way out, I tell them about Jesus. And I've had many of them, more than one, say, Thank you for sharing your story with me. See, they didn't know that they had to be saved to get to heaven. Many of them thought by just belonging to a church they could get into heaven. Or if they'd follow the Lord in New Testament baptism, they'd get into. But it's not the way it's going to happen. Again I say, Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Well, now here's an earthquake on Easter morning, verse 1 and 2. In the beginning, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back that stone from the door and sat upon it. Hey, friends, listen. I don't know how big that stone was. It must have weighed tons. My stars in the morning. When those people who crucified Jesus put Jesus in a barred tomb, they rolled that huge, huge, big stone in the entrance of that cave, and they said, he's not going to get out of here. In fact, let's put a few guards just in case. Boy, oh boy, weren't they surprised? Man, well, the three women arrived at the tomb with their spices, and they arrived just in time for that big old earthquake. Now, the stone is rolled away by the angel of the Lord. You know, a lot of people, excuse me, that lemonade here because I'm having throat trouble, but boy, I'm, hey, you say, why don't you just quit preaching? Are you kidding me? Come on. I wouldn't trade with the richest man in the whole world because I'm getting to go tell the good news. Well, the angel sits on the stone, demonstrates victory over death and grave. Every one of us, beloved, are going to have to die. No, we don't want to talk about it. Of course we don't. And before I was saved as an alcoholic, I knew that I was going to go to hell because I know the Bible said drunkards will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. Well, that is, unless they get saved. And then once you get saved, you're not going to go to hell. Well, this was urgent news for the disciples. And the angel's command, go quickly and tell. Well, what is this urgent news? Well, verse 6. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord laid. I remember as a little boy, every Easter Sunday, we would go to Pilot Rock up behind the Adam Field. Anyway, and we would go there for a sunrise service. Cold. Man, it was usually cold. Well, he's not here. That's what they said. Now, the women had come in unbelief. They truly expected to find a body. But what did they find? An empty tomb. Well, consider their confusion. Now, verse 3, the appearance of the angel, and it said, his countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. The shaking soldiers, verse 4, and for the fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. Man, I'm telling you, they were scared. Whew. They did not kill Jesus. Jesus gave his life as a ransom for old Cecil Moe and all you dear people listening to the broadcast tonight. They had human fears, verse 5. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not, for I know that you seek Jesus which was crucified. Now I said, don't get all excited and get all scared. This Jesus you come to anoint and prepare his body, he's not here, no. He's gone. Now, the earth-shaking event leading up to this moment, Jesus before Pilate, the scourging, the mocking, the crucifixion, but now the empty tomb. What next? Well, verse 6, Christ is risen. Excuse me, I'm going to take another more lemonade, please. Boy, I'm sure glad God made lemonade. Don't you like it? Well, I'm back to my message here. Verse 6. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come, see the place where the Lord laid. He wasn't there no more because he's risen. Now, the important news here, listen to this. 1 Corinthians 15, 17, 19. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Boy, howdy. Do you know what that means? If there was no Christ, if he had not come out of the tomb, we're sunk. We are absolutely sunk. Well, without the resurrection, there'd be no salvation. That's what I'm talking about. We would know. We would have no assurance that our sins have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. And you know what? Then he writes your name and my name in the Lamb Book of Life. The most important who's who book there is in the world. Why, in 1989, I was inducted into the Christian Leadership of an American. Boy, I always tell people, well, you know, Billy Graham and I both got in there at the same time. I just drop in names. I'm no Billy Graham. Oh, how I love that man. What a great brother he's been. He's done so many wonderful things, and millions of people are in heaven today because God called Billy Graham, and he surrendered at 17 years old. Well, but Christ has risen. All he said was true. Salvation by faith is sure. Now, Jesus is Lord. Verse 6, let's say it again. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said, come see the place where he laid. Well, Jesus is Lord. Let me ask you, dear friends, is Jesus the Lord of your life? You say, Cecil, come on. I'm human. I'm married. I got a family. I got kids. Got grandkids. Got a job. Yes, is Christ the Lord of your life? Does he mean more than life to you? Well, he should, because he is risen, as he said. Now, the resurrection proved the deity of Christ. Now, the sign, destroy this temple, John 2, 19, 21. It says, Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple in 3 days, I will raise it up. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and will thou rear it up in 3 days? But he spake of the temple of his body. Now, you remember what he said, the sign of the prophet Jonah. Remember that one? Found in Matthew 12. But he answered and said unto them, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall be no sign be given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. You know, the Bible said in the Old Testament that a great fish swallowed him. Well, here in Matthew said a whale. I don't care what was a fish or a whale. Whatever it was, they sure flat swallowed him up. Why did they have to swallow Jonah? Who's a stinker? He decided to go the other way when God called him. You remember when Moses was called? My stars in the morning, he just couldn't believe that an old sheep herder like him could be called of God. Friends, listen to me. Now, he says, go tell the good news, right? Now, listen to this. Old Moses was nothing now but an old sheep herder. Sure, he was raised in royalty because his mama wouldn't put him in a little boat, and he went out there, and Pharaoh's daughter caught him, and she even nursed him and took care of him. Well, now, he said, you mean to tell me, Lord, I, Moses, a sheep herder out here in the wilderness, you're asking me to go down to Pharaoh and confront him and bring the children of Israel to the promised land? He said, that's exactly right. But Lord, he said, I can't speak. Well, I'll give you your brother. He used but you know what? Now, I'm not putting Moses down, because I know exactly how Moses feels and how he felt. Well, he said, well, Lord, who'll I tell him sent me? And the Lord said, tell him that I am who I am. There's no higher, no greater person in the world than our wonderful God. Well, looky here. So he said, okay. You know, his brother didn't get to say too much of anything, because Moses was in charge. Friends, let me ask you this. Are you not witnessing for the Lord or doing personal evangelism because you don't think you're smart enough? That was my problem. But you know what? I know that there's great, great preachers in this America that we live. There's some bad ones, there's some false prophets, but there's some dead burn good ones out there preaching. Now, I can't preach like they do. I'm not handsome like they are. Got white hair, but what's a big deal? But you know what? He didn't say, Cecil, I'm going to make you great. He said, come follow me. That's what he told his disciples of old. Come follow me. I'll take you and show you what I want. Did you realize that Jesus left all his problems to those 12 disciples? To go out and evangelize the world. They had no radio. They had no TV. They didn't have no 7-Eleven for their Slurpees. But those people took this as a challenge from Almighty God. And they did their job. Don't you remember? Oh, there's so many wonderful stories in the Bible. How God used these great and mighty men. I heard a preacher one time while I was doing a TV program back east, and while I was waiting to go on, I heard this preacher telling people that Jesus wore designed jeans, and that they had all kinds of money, and that's how he got his money. Hey, you want your sins forgiven? Do you want your children to all go to heaven? Well, send me $1,000 seed offering. Glory to God. Oh, friends, if you buy that prosperity religion, you're in a whole heap of hurt. It isn't out there. Go ye into all the world, he said, and also he also said, don't you take anything with you. I'll supply it. And to God be the glory, I can honestly testify after all these years of preaching on radio, TV, and traveling, and doing business, and a roofing business, that God will supply your needs. But let me tell you what. Now, you can't buy favor with God by giving. I've never asked you for a dime, and I won't ask you for a dime, because my God has supplied my needs like he said he would. But he said, I want to check you out. You gonna keep all the money that you prosper for yourself? Are you going to share it? Well, I've tried to share it. No, I'm not perfect. No, my halo didn't get over my eyes. Well, I better have a little juice here now. But I'll tell you what. He's looking for surrendered people, not great. And he's not looking for spiritual giants. One time somebody asked Billy Graham, why was he run for president? He said, why in the world would I step down? Friends, If you're a witness for Jesus, if you're trying to lead souls to Christ, you are something very, very special. Every Sunday that we go to prison, my wife and I, when we used to have the quartet, I know that there are men in this place, in this cell, or in this, they have a chapel for them, that they're lost, many of them. Many of them, most of them are lost and undone. And here we come in with good news that the Lord can forgive their sins. He can change their life. Take out the heart of stone. Give them a heart of flesh. I've told you this story many, many years ago when Reverend Tom Baird, before God took him home, he was sitting in his home reading a newspaper and saw where these two 18-year-old black children had killed two people, and they were sentenced to two life sentences, never to get out of prison. He got on his wheelchair and wheeled six blocks to the prison, went to the prison, said he'd like to talk to these two young men. He went in there and he gave those two men the good news and led both of them to Christ. Months later, years later, we found out that they were both evangelists in this big prison, winning souls right and left. They had a purpose. Don't you remember that song? God has a plan. Well, he had a plan for those two young fellas. No, they will never get out of prison. Of course, they're still there. But think of the men and women who will be going to heaven because of them. Well, the Bible says that the resurrection fulfilled his purpose, John 10:17. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I laid down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to take it up again, and this commandment have I received from my Father. Oh, my. Let me ask you, Finn, what are you doing for Jesus today? You trying to win people? The disciples must be notified immediately. They must meet with Jesus. He will commission them to preach, to reach the world. But are we telling the good news? The need is great and the message is unchanged. Let's get serious this year about bringing people to Jesus before the first year. Let me ask you, would you like to be a soul winner for Jesus? You say, oh, Cecil. No, would you? Oh, come on. You can be. Because God will give you the equipment. He'll outfit you with the equipment. You've got a testimony. You've been born again. Do you know John 3:16? You can go out and lead a soul to Christ right now. That is, if you have the love in your heart. Oh, friends, listen, I love lost people. Someone said, oh, you don't like homosexuals and lesbians. I said, I sure don't like their sin, but I love their souls, because I too was an alcoholic. And I didn't think there was any hope. But then one day, a man of God gave me the good news. Jesus loves you, Cecil. Jesus died for you. And that morning, 55 years ago, I fell upon my knees and I cried out, oh God, if you're up there, here's my heart, my life, my soul. And I've been sharing Jesus ever since. Well, you say, Cecil, I'd like to do that. Bow your head to me right now. Father, I pray for this man or this woman who are struggling tonight with a decision that they need to start witnessing and soul winning. Give them the grace. Give them the opportunity. Give them holy boldness so that they might be effective for Jesus. In your name I pray. You say, Cecil, I don't even know Jesus. Well, would you like to know him tonight? If you would you bow your head with me right now if the Spirit of God is calling you? And here's the prayer. Oh, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I realize I'm wrong. But tonight, Lord, I'm opening my heart and receiving you in Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that, call 303-471-8534. I won't use your name on the air. I won't embarrass you. You give me a call, will you? God bless you. Well, friends, for the past half hour, your host has been Evangelist Cecil Moe. Oh, I pray something I said would help you to see that God can use you. God loves you. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Oh, I wish I could go back on the road again and preach revivals, but I can't. But I'm doing everything I can while I can't. Okay? Well, friends, pray for my health and my wife's health. We're going through a little battle right now, but we'll get to victory. Don't you sweat. If you pray, and I know you will, and thank you for it. Well, friends, until this time next Sunday night, I want you to be good to your neighbor. Stay sweet. Keep looking out for this wonderful, wonderful Jesus is coming soon. Good night, and God bless you real, real good.